Proverbs 6. My son or daughter, if you are surety for your friend, if you struck your hands with, in other words, if you come in agreement with a friend against the things of God, then you are snared with the words of your mouth. You are captured with the words of your own mouth. My son, do this then and deliver yourself when you come into the hand of your friend. Go lower yourself and be bold to your friend. In other words, humble yourself. Humble yourself and speak truth to your friend when they're trying to get you in trouble. Do not give sleep to your eyes or slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself from the hand of the hunter as a bird from the fowler's hand. It says, go to the ant, lazy man. Consider her ways and be wise. Who, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides her bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest? How long will you lie down, O lazy man? When will you rise out of your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to lie down. So shall your poverty come as one walking, and you need like an armed man. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. So I'm not going to go over all this, but wow, see how much is in the Bible? You know, you just need to look this stuff up and begin to pray about it. Yeah, there's a whole teaching on lazy where we talk about this, but it's very spiritual. And let me tell you something, lazy can even get in because you come home from work and you sit down in the chair and you turn on the same television show and you feed nothing to your brain or something bad and perverse to your brain, and then nothing gets accomplished. And I'm going to tell you, the enemy wants you to be this lazy man. He wants you to be somebody who says, well, I can do that tomorrow, or I don't really have anything to do, especially if you're looking for a job, or especially if you've been in the job a long, long time, and you're like, you know, who cares? Nobody cares. The boss doesn't care. God watches you guys. God watches. Why would he promote you if you're not really, if you have that lazy spirit? And so I don't know who needs to hear this today, because it wasn't the message at all, but I preached it anyhow. Okay, so there's a lot of things here. But it does say, we're going to be talking about poverty. But besides these things God hates, God has on my heart to break everybody out of the spirit of poverty, which we have a very powerful teaching on, and the spirit of mammon and bowing to mammon. Okay, now, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. The word perverted means against God's original intention. Okay, the word perverted means against God's original intention. We need to get rid of every perverted thing in our heart. We need to take it to the Lord. If your parents had some perversion and you thought it was funny, you need to begin to see what God's word says, and you need to not agree with the enemy's perversion. Okay, so against God's original intention. How do you know if something's perverted? If Jesus was standing there because he is, would you want it happening? You think, well, I don't want Jesus standing there even if it isn't perverted. Well, then you don't really understand him. He sees and knows everything. And his holy presence, you want it wherever you are at all times. All right. Now listen to this. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. Your worth is in Christ. Your worth is in Christ. So when you give into perversion against God's intention, you're going to feel unworthy, okay? You're going to feel unworthy. You're going to feel worthless. You're going to feel wicked. Why? Because you have wicked spirits operating in you that pervert God's original intention of what he has for your life. And it's funny he puts this after, don't be lazy. The enemy wants you lazy. He wants you sitting around doing about nothing. You need to really realize. I was praying the other day or just talking to God the other day. It's all kind of blends in. And, you know, sometimes you look at people who have gigantic ministries like Reinhard Bonnke or Heidi Baker or, you know, Jesse Duplantis or, you know, the Copelands, the people on TV, whatever. And you think, Lord, maybe you don't think like this, but I do. Lord, am I doing enough? Am I reaching enough people? Am I helping enough people? You know, Lord, I feel like sometimes I'm not doing that much. And the Lord put on my heart, everybody has the same amount of time. And so if Reinhard Bonnke or Billy Graham or, you know, I'm talking somebody, Benny Hinn, if they're standing on that platform, you guys, they're standing on that platform preaching and teaching for however much time they're standing on the platform preaching, teaching, right? There are other people in the body of Christ organizing. There are other people in the body of Christ bringing people, sitting them down, selling things at the book table, doing this. Do you understand what I'm saying? All of us are doing the same if we're not lazy. And so God has all these different people, every one of them as important as the person who God gives the platform to. Every one of them. It couldn't happen. It couldn't happen. Even the small size of this church could not happen if it was just had anything to do with just me. I mean, even if I was anointed to the max, but there weren't other people called by God and obedient to God and feeling led by God to come and do what God's called them to do. Do you get that? So ministry can grow as people come alongside and do what they're called to do, and don't think that that's not pleasing to God. Does everybody get that? We've got too much into this mentality that we need this great big thing. Well, there's no such thing as anybody having a great big thing. There's just a great big God with a lot of little people doing a lot of things. And you're going to want to do what he calls you to do and has for you to do and to find what that is. So a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. If you have a perverted mouth, which means you say foolish jokes, you curse, you talk about pornography, you talk about garbage, you know what I'm saying? If you got a perverted mouth, then you have a wicked spirit in your heart. You need to ask God to help you with that. And it makes you feel worthless, okay? Winking with his eyes. Do you know, have you ever seen that? I hate when you're talking to some, you know, somebody, a clerk or a man or something, they wink at you. I'm like, get that nasty devil out of your eyeball, mister. You know, in Jesus' name, for I come across there and cast it out in front of all these people. But I say, Lord, save the man, but kill that devil. Send him to hell in Jesus' name. Amen. I do. Even when you're driving along and they come beside your car and look at you, I'm like, are you crazy? I'm old enough to be your mother. Go away. Go get yourself healed in Jesus' name. Probably when I turn around, I think, oh, God, I didn't know you were as old as my mother. Anyhow, winking with his eyes, speaking with his feet, teaching with his fingers. Now, road rage has shown us what that means, but speaking with the feet, where you are at speaks a lot about you. Okay, where you're at, if you're at a bar, your feet are speaking. If you're scanning the pornography rack at the grocery or whatever store, I don't know where they sell all that junk, probably everywhere anywhere, it's speaking. If your feet have you in front of the computer and your fingers are talking too, teaching with you. Do you see what I'm saying? Is speaking. Perversity is in his heart. I wasn't going to teach this, but God wants to get this stuff out of your heart. Perversity is a spirit that corrupts the original intention of God. The original intention for a husband. The original intention for a father. The original intention for a mother. Original intention for a wife. Original intention for friendship. Original intention for everything. And so any area where any part of your body, any relationship, anything going on with you is against God's original intention. And I'll tell you what, I don't think there's a person in here who kind of doesn't know just because of the Holy Spirit, just because of a conscience, even before you're born again, you kind of know what the original intention was for. That's why the Bible says that those who give their bodies over for perverted use are those who use, when a man's with a man and a woman's with a woman for perverted, wicked sexual garbage, it's such a perversion of God's original intention. And when somebody kills their baby, and there is forgiveness for all of this, there is deliverance, there is healing. We're not throwing stones at any particular sins over another, but I'm helping you to see how perverted things get. And this society and the world system, because Satan is in charge of it, wants to tell you something's wrong with you for not seeing perverted as perverted. Do you understand what I'm saying? And they want to continue to teach your children perversion so that they lose, so their conscience gets seared. A seared conscience is when you don't know what perversion is. A seared conscience is when you don't know what perversion is. And we'll study that some other time. It's really bad when you get a seared conscience. Because at that point, Satan has actually almost the ability to control you and possess you. When somebody takes prescription drugs that are not really being taken to help them, as far as the medical way, it's a perversion. It's a perverted spirit. And it's going to open the door to a lot. It's kind of like this. When a little perverted spirit comes in, a little party guy, he's going to open the door to as much perversion as he possibly can. And the Holy Spirit comes into the life of a believer to throw him out. And what is in between him being thrown out from the minute you get saved? Your agreement. who you agree with gets to live in you. So one thing you need to be praying about and looking at your lives about is this a perverted activity? Is this against God's original intention? If you don't know, because society is really getting messed up, read the Bible. Talk to someone who does. New Testament. I recommend New Testament to begin with, to understand and read about Jesus. Okay. Perversion is in his heart. He is plotting evil at every time. So when there's a perverted spirit operating in your life, there's also a spirit in you that's plotting evil. Okay, evil is Satan in charge instead of God in charge. Evil is really Satan's attribute that holy is to God. God is holy. Holy is absence of evil. Holy is pure perfection, how it should be. Evil is every perverted thing against holy, okay? And God's not kidding. Holy Spirit came into us literally, sincerely. If you're born again, the Spirit of God. He likes it when he gets a little, recognition. Anyway, just in case. Oh, he's so fun. Anyway, whew. And he comes in to sanctify you. It's not a big fancy word. Sanctification means Holy Spirit kicking out evil. But you are in charge. Do you get this? You have the free will choice to choose to get rid of evil or keep evil. And he's not going to come against your choice. And here's the deal. If you like one area of perversion, such as pornography, since I just heard a statistic that 50% of Christian men are active in pornography. Because it's so pushed in our culture. Because if Satan can get a perverted spirit in there, he's going to keep adding to it and adding to it and adding to it and adding to it. So if you like that perversion, but you don't like the perversion of maybe rage and anger that causes you to fight or lose your job or beat up somebody or whatever or hit your children. Oh, I don't like that. I don't want that. Well, let me tell you something. If you like something perverted, God's not like, it's not like the fast food lane. Excuse me, what do you want? Well, I really want to get rid of this, but I want to keep this, and I want to get rid of this, and I want to keep this, and I want. No, it doesn't work like that. First, the Holy Spirit comes in, and he says, I want this out, and this out, and this out, and this out. And when he hits that one that you like, if you don't give him that one at that time, the other things that you let go of can come back 7 times worse. I've been doing deliverance ministry, and I've really set people free from stuff. And the stuff they like getting rid of, they don't want 7 times worse. It's waiting at the door with 7 friends, according to the Bible, to come back in. Folks, this is not a multiple choice, or this is not a pick and choose. This isn't like, you go to, to go Panera's, and it's like, okay, pick 2. Well, okay, huh. This isn't like an all, the buffet bar. Well, let's see, I do want that, I do. Oh, can't have that. This is in the kingdom of God or not. Holy or unholy. It's like in America, we are so messed up in our thinking that we actually think we get to choose. So you want to hang on to something where you can beat somebody up because aren't you tough? When truthfully, Jesus says, if you fight by the sword, you'll die by the sword. He doesn't say, if you fight by the sword, you'll win one day. He says, no, you keep fighting by the sword and it's going to kill you one day. It's going to hurt you one day. It's going to destroy you somehow one day. Maybe it won't be you personally. Maybe it'll be one of your offspring. Break the power of that happening. This stuff is serious. While all the church is learning how to get rich. How about let's get holy and then seek ye first the kingdom of God. I want his kingdom. I want his holy kingdom where he's a holy God, where everything unholy can't come in. unholy stuff, perverted stuff cannot come into the kingdom of God. Perverted stuff cannot come into the kingdom of God. And if perverted stuff is living in you because you think some of it's okay, God may let you taste and see that he's good because he's trying to win you with his love. But you're never going to have that walk with God where you're going to hear him, understand him, enjoy his presence, move in the gifts of his spirit, see healings and deliverances. You have to choose. I don't know why the American church doesn't get it. You have to choose. Thank you, God. When you choose Jesus, you are choosing holy. When you make him Lord, he means it. And people have such terrible Christian lives because they don't really choose. And then that makes them lukewarm in Revelations. It says, because you're not hot or cold, because you're not choosing to live in my kingdom by my spirit and my holiness, because you're not choosing that, or because you're not choosing to just live in wickedness and for the devil and just know you're going to hell and you've chosen that, but because you're not choosing, because you're choosing not to choose, I'm going to throw you up. That's in Revelations. That's Jesus talking. I don't know about you, but if God, as big as he is, first he died for me, he loves me so much. He died for me a painful death. He took all of my sin. He paid the price, that perversion against the original intentions of God that happened in my life. He paid the price for that, you guys. He paid the price for that. It was a horrific thing for a holy, holy God to have to take all that wickedness and sin and evil on him and have Satan laughing and mocking him and in charge of him. And he did it for one reason, so you could be free from it. Not so you could kind of pick and choose.
I think God understands.
Let me tell you what Jesus says. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off.